You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
As it is an F off Friday, as we close in on Browns training camp, optimism abound. We had callers this week saying 7 wins, saying 10 wins for the Cleveland Browns. To get to another optimistic way to look at the Cleveland Browns, including their offseason grade, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on ESPN NFL analyst Seth Walter to the show. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I got to know, you seeing Superman this weekend? Because everyone in my life has already seen it or will see it.
No, I think I'm going to try and see the F1 movie. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers, all right? But I want to see it.
All right, so this is a spoiler. It's about F1 racing.
Okay, I can deal with that.
All right. Why do you think the Browns earned a B-plus grade for their offseason?
Well, you know, look, what I try to do with these grades is evaluate the team's decision making, and obviously the Browns are in a tough spot, there's no question about that. But then, okay, given where they are, what decisions did they make to improve their team? The biggest move that they made was trading down the draft from number 2 to number 5. They got a haul in that spot, as you would expect, because you're getting Travis Hunter. The Jags are getting Travis Hunter, a potential two-way player, but they got basically a quarterback price to move down. That's a big boon to their value. I would have liked to have seen them keep moving down farther, but I don't know that they had that option. That is a huge move. But what I also liked was they took multiple swings at quarterback in the draft, right? They weren't there. It's like you take Sanders and Gabriel. I know that almost certainly was not the plan going into the draft, but you want to just take these swings because they're all low probability, high upside plays. I think getting both of those guys is good because you have two other veterans with very little upside in Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Those were moves that I liked. I think there were some smaller ones that I was a fan of. Tevin Jenkins signing, I liked a lot. But I wasn't a perfect offseason for me. Like, if I'm the Browns, I'm trying to position myself for the future. The big move, and I know this might be controversial, that they made that I think went really counter to that thesis was re-signing Myles Garrett. They signed him to an extension. They gave Garrett a big extension. He's obviously an incredible player, Hall of Fame player, an all-timer. But this was your opportunity to trade him. He asked for a trade, and you could have gotten a huge package of assets that could have been valuable to you in the future. As opposed to paying Garrett right now, you're sort of winding down his value at a time when you are yourself are not a contender. And so I know that might be a contrarian take, but I do think that was a missed opportunity for the Browns.
Well, you took my second question there too. Sir, are a pro.
No, that's a bad job by me, right? I should have kept the back and forth going. I kind of blew it.
No, I love the efficiency. That's what you always preach with the NFL, and that's what you preach with this interview. So you mentioned the quarterbacks here. I started the show just by saying, like, I'm okay in the offseason, then ramp up to the camp of treating Shedeur Sanders like a fifth rounder. But I think you got to leave the door open to also understand he's a second round talent, which is what I thought he was. Does it behoove the Browns to treat Shedeur like a fifth rounder all season long?
No, I'm with you. I think it doesn't. And I guess what I would say, and I would say this about Sanders, and I would say this about Gabriel as well, which is that the priority for the 2025 Browns is not wins. It's finding and developing a quarterback. And this, again, I think it's a low probability that either one of these guys is the Browns' quarterback of the future. But there's a chance it is, and it's higher than the chance that Joe Flacco is their quarterback for the future. So you might as well spend a lot of this season trying to got it. About to make a huge investment somewhere at quarterback in 2026. So you want to see what you've got. So no, I think you want to probably get guys compete. I wouldn't rule out Gabriel, right? I think if he outperforms Sanders, then he's your first guy, and you want to be able to have a quick hook on whichever veteran you end up starting the season with.
Seth Walder, ESPN NFL analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So when it comes to kind of the expectations for the Browns, I have kind of been in the minority. I think this should be a 3 or 4 win team, although I can understand where people see some upside here. What do you see as the most likely outcome for this team this season?
I'm not that far from you, probably maybe 5 or maybe 6 wins. I think that's the most. Let's say 5 maybe is the most likely. Is what maybe if you made me pick a number, I think that's what I would go with. I mean, there's some positives on this team. They obviously have some good players, but this is a rebuild. I mean, there's no way to get around that. There's no way to get around the weakness of quarterback. There's no way to get around the fact that there are weak spots now that they didn't have before. And I think 5 wins. That's what I would say.
So, you know, part of the trade down here, what I liked about it wasn't just because you and I are pretty simpatico. It was the right move. And, you know, Travis Hunter can be very good. If this helps lead you to a quarterback in the future, that it will always be the right move. I also just loved Mason Graham at Michigan, having watched him work the Browns, Ohio State over the last couple of years. But when it comes to expectation for rookie defensive tackles, I just never know where to land on this. Should we have defensive rookie of the year type expectations for Mason?
You could. It's not like, you know, I think I wouldn't put the same filter on a rookie defensive tackle the way that I might with offensive linemen. Offensive linemen, we know, underperform as rookies, even highly drafted ones. They take more time to develop. So, yeah, I mean, could you see a defensive rookie of the year for him? Yeah, I think it'd be an upset, but if anyone drafted at number 5 overall, it's in the cards. I think you're more likely to get someone who's going to generate more sacks, probably, but you never know. Certainly defensive tackles can win that award, so I think that's possible.
All right, Seth, moving to Jerry Jeudy. He was actually coming off his best season statistically of his career, and he had Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, and DTR throwing him passes. And the NFL's top 100 list came out, and he ranks somewhere in the 80s there. So that's more of a Q score from players and execs and whatnot. Do you think that Jerry Jeudy is a true top 100 player?
Well, I feel well-positioned to answer this question because we are putting together our own top 100 list, and it involves putting together a ballot individually ourselves. So I just turned in my ballot, I think just 2 days ago, of my top 100 players. Jerry Jeudy was not on the list. It's funny that I feel like I've been a longtime Jerry Jeudy defender for years. I think this time last year, I would have been talking him up. He's one thing about Jeudy. He's always scored well in a metric we have called open score. So it's a receiver's ability to get open, generate openness, whether or not they're targeted. And so that's a player tracking based metric. And that's obviously a skill of his. And I think it indicated to me like he was maybe a little bit better than his production numbers had indicated. And I think last year was somewhat of a validation of that, given that he did have the production despite the lack of quarterback play. Does that make him a top 100 player? I would not put him there yet. I wouldn't put him there. There's just too many other good receivers, and I am impressed by him, but it's hard for me to say he cracks quite that list after just like one really nice year.
All right, Seth, we have you under talking about the Browns, but obviously a loaded division, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Aaron Rodgers now, his crazy ass. Give me your outlook on the other AFC North teams.
Yeah, sure. So I think, to me, Baltimore is a full tier ahead of Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati didn't make the playoffs a year ago. I think it's very reasonable to expect a lot of bounce back because all of their success was on offense. And so just from studying the NFL, that you just have defensive regression from year to year. And regression can work two ways. If you have a weak defense, we just are not that confident that they're going to be weak again. And that's the situation with the Bengals. That being said, I do look at these teams and I see a pretty wide gap. Baltimore's roster is just loaded. I mean, it's just really hard to get over the fact that they have so many good players to support, starting with not just Lamar Jackson, but you've got great left tackle and Ronnie Stanley, a really good receiver, and Zay Flowers. Obviously, the entire offensive line is pretty good and definitely helps support Derrick Henry in the offense. And then the defense, I mean, we're talking about like Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins, I think, was maybe a little underrated last year. Maybe probably the best safety in the league in Kyle Hamilton. They have guys like Nnamdi Madubuike. So to me, that roster is completely stacked. They're the best team in the division. I'm somewhat skeptical of Cincinnati, despite what I just said. I just think things broke really right for them. Joe Burrow played the best ball of his career last year, and I worry that they're going to need it to all break right, all super reliant on those three guys, Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. They don't have a great offensive line, so it just has to work with all three of those players. And then, despite what I said a minute ago, I do feel like their defense remains an issue, and that's no question a worse issue if they don't have Trey Hendrickson. Pittsburgh is, I think Aaron Rodgers, it's been four years now, really, since he's played good ball. He didn't play well his last season in Green Bay. Then he had the injury. Then he played terribly for the Jets after that. So it's been 4 years since Rodgers played well. I think the expectations should not be that high for Pittsburgh, but you can imagine a world where it all breaks right for them. They have probably the best pass rush in the league. They have a really old defense, but if you could get a vintage season out of Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey, and maybe Joey Porter Jr. gets the penalties under control, if you just sort of squint at it and you say, wow, okay, great defense, maybe they run the ball well and Rodgers is just okay enough that they can squeak by and be effective, I can imagine that working. But I think that like our median expectation for Pittsburgh should be probably missing the playoffs.
Seth, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. Enjoy F1. I'm going to need that film review out on Twitter after the movie, okay?
You got it.
All right, buddy, thanks so much. Seth Walder there, ESPN NFL analyst in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff with him. We got to react to what he had to say about Jerry Jeudy because Spencer German's been sitting here getting ready to join the show in about 5 minutes, and he was just shaking his head. He was enraged. Which is funny because Seth is like very mild manner and Spencer's very mild manner. So I like when mild mannered people really piss each other off. But we got Spencer German joining the show and the toughest Browns player to grade in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. So you were shaking your head when Seth Walder joined us. Yeah. Do we have the Jerry Jeudy thing? All during this answer, I asked him, you know, the NFL has Jerry Jeudy as a top 100 player. So I then spun that to Seth. Is he a true top 100 player? And Spencer was disapproving of this answer.
I've been a longtime Jerry Jeudy defender for years. I think this time last year, I would have been talking him up. He's one thing about Jeudy. He's always scored well in a metric we have called open score. So it's a receiver's ability to get open, generate openness, whether or not they're targeted. And so that's a player tracking based metric. And that's obviously a skill. Does that make him a top 100 player? I would not put him there yet. I wouldn't put him there. There's just too many other good receivers.
Now you were. I mean, that's as vehemently as I've seen you disagree with an answer there. What do you take umbrage with there?
I think it's kind of funny that he called himself this Jerry Jeudy, this champion of Jerry Jeudy, but then he's not going to have him in the top 100. He even said last year when everybody else was like, what the hell are the Browns doing trading for this receiver who some were calling a bust and then extending him? Your co-host hated the fact that they gave him an extension at the time. And then he goes out and has this brilliant season. If you're a true Jerry Jeudy supporter and defender and champion, you would feel like he belongs in the top 100. And I can say, obviously, outside of here, I host the Locked On Browns podcast. We're doing like a network-wide top 100. Same thing he said that he's doing with at ESPN. And I've been adamant that Jerry Jeudy belongs in this top 100. Ours gets released next week, so I don't know how like the other hosts felt about it, but I 100% had Jerry Jeudy in my top 100. I think I had him somewhere in like the early 80s, similar to what they had him on this poll. But I don't know. I just feel, I know it was 1 year. I get it. I know people want like the longevity thing. They want to see it consistently, but you also got to remember, like, as we've talked about numerous times on this station, like, you have a guy who was playing with a rotating cast of characters at quarterback, between Deshaun, who was awful, Jameis Winston, who turned the ball over a lot, but he had his best numbers with Jameis. And then on top of that, like, two guys that they were just kind of throwing out there and seeing what they could do at the end of the season to see if there was anything viable that they wanted to use for next year or this year. Like, he did not have the best quarterback situation. And he still went out and was a top five receiver in yards, put up 1,200 yards, his first 1,000-yard season, gets that Pro Bowl not recognition. Like, I just think he proved that he is the number one wide receiver that people thought he could be when he got drafted. And to me, even in a one-year sample size, because that's the thing, like, you're doing this year to year anyway. Like, next year there'll be a new top 100, and maybe he won't be in it. But based off of last year, which is a lot of what this is based off of, I think he absolutely proved that he's a top 100 player.
So it's interesting. I think Jerry's pretty underrated.
Yeah,
like PFF would put their top 32 wide receivers for the season. They didn't have him in their top 32.
Yeah, I noticed that. I saw that a couple weeks ago.
And like, listen, T. Higgins, all right, that's a conversation. Devontae Adams at this point in his game, that's a conversation. Devontae Smith. But you're going to like DJ Moore. All right, Ladd McConkey. Okay. Zay Flowers, who really has not had that year yet.
Yeah,
although last year was
Jerry
a nice
had
step.
A better year than him, yeah.
Rashee Rice, who was trying to stay out of jail last year. Josh Downs, like, these are nice wide receivers. But if we go to the production tape, yeah, Jerry does have certain numbers, especially overall yardage. But at the same point, like, I think he's the toughest player to grade. Because, like, he's not a top 10 wide receiver, which starts to put him in danger of a top 100 conversation. When I say top 10, I mean, like, if you drafted the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL, he's not one of the first 10 off the board. But he is in that class of guys who you know has the tools, you know can do it, but just hasn't had that indisputable season. Last year, you can dispute. He put up a lot of yards in a bad team, and they had one receiver. And the receiver's name was Jerry Jeudy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I wouldn't put him in top 100, but I think he's somewhere right in that next tier of the next 50 players, and somebody who, if they had the number one pick and drafted Cam Ward, that's a guy that likes to throw the ball down the field, that's a guy with a big arm, I probably would be saying this is the year where he ascends based off what he did last year into next year.
I can agree. I agree with you on the fact that there certainly are a lot of good receivers in this league. I mean, like, you can name the big ones off the top of your head. The Justin Jeffersons, the Jamar Chase, the probably A.J. Brown's next in line
Don
somewhere
Hudson,
there.
Don Hudson, we were talking about earlier.
I would say, obviously, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown's been really good. I think CeeDee Lamb falls in that category. I think Mike Evans, even as an older receiver, still, you know, fringe top 10 guy that continues to just produce at a high level. I think Puka Nacua probably falls in there somewhere. Do I think Jerry Jeudy is as good as, if not better than, like, T. Higgins? Yes. Do I think Nico Collins is in that conversation? Yes. I do think Jerry sort of falls in, to your point on, like, the tiers, like, into that same sort of tier with that next group of guys. You know, a guy like Malik Nabers kind of comes to mind. Tyreek Hill, I think, would still be considered top 10 by a lot of people. He also had a down year last year, and you could say situation and quarterback and all that, but he was the number one player on this entire list a year ago.
But to push back to what you said there, how many NFL GMs would take, and I know that this is a little bit of a fruitless exercise, but it is a perspective exercise, how many NFL GMs would take Jerry Jeudy over T. Higgins? Same thing with each one of those guys you mentioned.
I think that's honestly a really interesting question. Because I'm kind of answer. Because I think, what I'm saying is, I think it'd be more split than maybe you think. Because I T. Higgins has been good. Do I think T. Higgins is like, I don't know. I've never looked at T. Higgins and felt like he's a top 10 wide receiver in football. I actually was arguing the Bengals, I thought, were silly to pay him and Jamar Chase. I was like, hey, just start, like, keep Jamar Chase. That's the guy you pay. And then you go sort of replenish your wide receiving core or, like, behind Jamar Chase. I thought it was kind of silly they paid him just because they wanted to have a number two wide receiver that they felt like was good. And I get, like, there was people throwing out the stats that, like, when T. Higgins plays, they have a better record when they're like, whatever the record is when he doesn't play. So I get it, but I'm also like, you can't pay everybody. And so I kind of felt like the chasm between Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is pretty vast, in my opinion. Like, so I don't think that he's close.
I brought up T. Higgins is I share some of the, you shouldn't pay two wide receivers that kind of money. And so we agree, but I think T is the quintessential, I don't know if he's a number one receiver, and it looks different than Jerry Jeudy, but you had said something early. I don't know he's a number one wide receiver.
Right.
Like, I think Jerry Jeudy, he put up number one wide receiver stats last year.
You're saying you don't think Jerry Jeudy is. You don't know Jerry Jeudy.
No, I think he's a very, very, very nice player, but I think the jury's still out if he's a number one.
I think he showed last year he can be a number one, and
I think he showed last year he didn't have Cortland Sutton, or I can't remember the third wide receiver that was highly drafted around him.
When you have the numbers
he
had, though,
if you give him
with those quarterbacks, with the quarterbacks that he had, and he still put up those numbers, I think that tells me he's a number one wide receiver.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson. At Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _. The question we have for you guys is, the NFL's top 100 ranking has Jerry Jeudy as a top 100 player. Spencer says it's a slam dunk. He is. I think Jerry is every bit the player I hoped he would be when they traded for him, and then some more. But that doesn't make him a top 100 player yet. So we're going to continue on that conversation and the things you pay for and the things that might just be wasting your money in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We do have Spencer German here, and it's interesting. I kind of think for Jerry Jeudy, he's at this unfair point where, on one hand, I think he earns a lot more credit after the way he played last year with bad quarterback play around him. On the other, the quarterback play is not guaranteed to be any better this year, and there might be a statistical regression that would make sense with where you are, and that's going to hurt his perception even further.
Yeah, I mean, that's very plausible. I also think, too, though, and this, I mean, now we're getting into the weeds on, like, just this basically just becoming like a...
It is legal in Ohio now.
Who should start at at quarterback conversation again, which we've obviously exhausted at this point leading up to training camp. But if Joe Flacco starts the year, right, and he gets like 6 or 7 games, to me, part of the reason why I think Joe Flacco should start is because Joe Flacco is a quarterback that we know without question makes the guys around him better. He did that in 2023. He turned basically single-handedly David Njoku into a Pro Bowler that year. The numbers he put up with Joe Flacco are the reason he went to the Pro Bowl that year. He made Elijah Moore look like the best receiver, the best version of the receiver that the Browns thought they were getting when they traded for him was when he played with Joe Flacco. He makes the guys around him better. And I think with a guy like Flacco, who's the gunslinger, throws it down the field, he could air it out to Jerry Jeudy a bunch. You'd get a lot of that Jameis Winston effect.
But that's a lot of money in the hands of Njoku, a potential future money for Jerry Jeudy, the development of guys like Tillman and Harold Fannin, and you're putting it all in the basket, or you're all in the lap of a 40-year-old quarterback who we could get 3 games in, and not for his own fault, but the dude just looks washed.
Right. No, and listen, I understand, he probably isn't going to play all 17 games. I've talked about that plenty already. But I still think, even without Flacco, I think all the quarterbacks in this room basically will be looking Jerry Judy's way. I'll say this. I think Jerry Jeudy is going to put up, at the very least, similar the same numbers he did last year, but I'm willing to bet that I'm willing to bet that he actually has a better season this year than he did last year. And I think part of that is going to be he's going to score more touchdowns this year. He only had 4.
That's a smart bet there. Just because if you were he's going to have more yards, I'm I don't know, they're going to throw for enough yardage for him.
But listen, and there's something to be said too for you're going back to Stefanski's offense in its purest form. You're going to run the ball more. I get all that, but listen, there's still room for a receiver to catch 90 passes on any team in the NFL. Jerry should still get targeted enough where 90 receptions make sense for him. So I'm willing to say he's going to put up at least the same, but better. I'll go and say even better numbers than he did a year ago.
216-474-0092. Is Jerry Jeudy a top 100 player? He might be one of the guys who I think is on the cusp of that, and deservedly so, and he might be hurt by wherever this season goes. We're going to bring in Jake here because there's a story going around about Michael Jordan's old house, which had initially been posted for $25 million for sale forever ago, and then they ended up selling low on it. Jake, what can you tell us about Airbnb at MJ's old house?
Yeah, so it's now a listing on Airbnb, and just some details on Michael Jordan's actual estate here, or his old estate. It was built in 1995, like you said, went around for $25 million. This place has 7 bedrooms, 17 and a half bathrooms. It also has a full-size basketball court, putting green, tennis court, cigar room, and infinity pool. Also has a gate with a big number 23. It's an iconic mark right there as you drive up to the estate. Now, for the actual listing rules on Airbnb, it requires a minimum 7-night stay, limited to 12 guests total. You must sign a liability waiver, non-disclosure agreement, and pay $25,000 as a security deposit.
So listen, I think this is an interesting business plan. I think it will work out. This is exactly the kind of the celebrity lust or whatever we have, the fascination, whether that I just don't share with other people. None of this sounded interesting once you hit 7 nights, an NDA, and $25,000 retainer.
Why do you have to sign an NDA? That's the thing I have questions about. Is somebody going to show up at the house and find things that were found at Diddy's house? Then it's going to be a big problem for him. What's the NDA about?
By the way, wild turn trying to go from MJ to Diddy, but I'll play.
I knew you would.
So I think it's probably wouldn't be able to post pictures of it. If you had a big week there that you spent, I bet you wouldn't be allowed to post pictures from inside the house because they don't want people to see it. So that way it might make it, they don't want to de-incentivize people to go and spend the money to do it.
I mean, I think the people that can spend the money to do this are doing it because they're hey, I stayed at Michael Jordan's house. I don't think they care if they saw it in pictures or not. I think isn't our entire society at this point based off of scrolling Instagram and seeing, oh man, that person did something cooler than me. I got to go do something cool now. So I just think it would incentivize people to show up more.
I think they want to preserve the mystery. And in fairness, the pictures of this place are all over the place. but I think it's about controlling the mystique of this place. I think it's crazy. I don't think NDA should be there. There's two. One, I'll give you one thing that I don't think should be legal in this country, and one of them is NDAs. I don't think they should be.
That's the only thing that shouldn't be legal in this country?
Yeah, that literally violates your First Amendment right.
Yeah.
And signing something that says, yeah, I won't talk about it, no matter how much money, there's no NDA on the planet that's actually worth
surrendering. What's wild is, like, usually people are signing NDAs because they got paid off or something, right? It's like, hey, we'll pay you a bunch of money, and you don't talk about this incident that happened.
But you know, I can be bought,
in this,
not on that
in
front.
In this instance, you have to pay to stay there and then still sign an NDA. You get nothing out of it. Like, there's nothing good. And to your point, you can't take pictures or anything. What is the win here? That you just get to say you stayed there? Like,
you get to tweet it, but without any pictures?
Like, what's the point of that? We know in today's world that it didn't happen unless you're able to post pictures on social media.
Would you pay money? If you had it, if you had bleep you money, would you do this?
No. I don't care about staying at Michael Jordan's house.
What about LeBron's house in Bath?
I experience the same weather pretty much every day. Like, what do I need to experience it in LeBron's house for?
Here's the thing. You know that, like, if I ever got bleep you money, there's a beach house in Grand Haven with my name on it. There's somewhere in Chandlersville, Zanesville, there's a plot of land that I'm going to put the nicest cabin on, right? I think the whole point of having that kind of money is that you make your house such an oasis so you never want to leave. Like, I don't have bleep you money.
Yeah,
my house, this year I was like, well, I love the cabin, but I love my house too. It's the first time I ever want to say that. So, like, that's the goal, is if I had that kind of money, I'd just make my house a sanctuary so that I would just never, I'd just become the biggest hermit on the planet.
First of all, I'm with you. I have, like, a long list of things that I would do with FU money more than wanting to do this. And building a house somewhere where I want to, Montana would be awesome. I have a house in Montana. I'd love it.
You would not fit
in
Montana.
Well, I built a house
there.
The
Bears would claim you. All right? I love you.
But claim me?
Yeah, you would be lost to the wilderness, all right?
I have a funny story about that, actually. I'll tell you during the break.
What kind of bears we're talking about?
Your boy took a pounding.
But to your point, though, if I have FU money, the whole point would be that I can build my house as luxurious as Michael Jordan. So why would I want to stay there?
And the whole point of FU money goes away if you sign an NDA.
Right.
That turns into, from FU
People
money
with
to
FU
just
money
FU.
People with FU money don't sign NDAs. That's the thing. Like, they just don't. There's no reason to.
That's why I've never signed one.
People with FU money get other people to sign NDAs. They do not sign NDAs.
I like the idea that when I'm done, I'm just going to go around. When I've won the lottery here very shortly, I'm just going to pay everybody on the show not to talk about me just so I can say I have them under NDAs. 216.
What if we don't sign it?
Then I'm not going to pay a damn cent. How about that? 216-474-0092. Would you pay money to stay in Michael Jordan's old house as an Airbnb? A $25,000 deposit, 7-night minimum NDA. No, thank you. It might not work, but kudos on the Cavs for at least making the effort. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.